And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the most beautiful state. The most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we're going to talk to somebody else right now who's been covering a lot of ground lately, and that's our U.S. Senator Katie Britt, who is calling in right now. Senator Britt, how are you doing?
I am doing well, Phil. I appreciate, as always, the opportunity to be on to talk with you about important issues facing our country and certainly be in front of your listeners.
Well, thank you so much for making time. And by the way, I got to say, after the State of the Union response the other day, I was telling somebody, that's just the way she is. I mean, I've been around her a bit,
and that's
the way she is. But you've been taking some heat over that one.
You know what? And I'll take it every day. I mean, if being passionate about the things that we care about the values that make our country so great, giving people a voice who feel like they don't have one. I'm going to fight for faith, family, and freedom, and I'm going to keep doing it. And we were talking, and I said, you know you're over the target when you're taking on flak, so let's go.
That's exactly right. Well, and by the way, ain't nobody had really much to say about the content, did they? All they could do was try to find something else to pick on. But
that's right. Hey, too much passion, and I think if we had more people that were serving us in elected office with a little bit more passion, I don't think we'd be in this place in the country.
So, dadgummit, that senator's got too much passion. We can't have too much passion.
That's right. We're going to fight for the people, things people care about, and not apologize for it. So thank you.
Well, speaking of things we care about, something that has really gotten a lot of attention, and well, by the way, it was even in the State of the Union that night because Marjorie Taylor Greene had the Say Her Name thing. But there's something called the Laken Riley Act, and Dems are blocking it thus far. Tell us what you know.
Yes. So, well, first off, let's drill down to the State of the Union, as you just mentioned. You have President Biden, who calls her Lincoln Riley and not Laken Riley, and then calls her murderer an illegal. And when it comes time for him to, quote, apologize, it is not to Laken's family for getting her name wrong, but yet he feels the need to apologize to her murderer for mislabeling him. And actually, that is what the liberal media demanded. And I want you to look at this. There is no greater contrast in what happened on that Saturday. You have President Biden who apologizes to Laken Riley's murderer for mislabeling him, but yet at the same time you have President Trump embrace Laken Riley's family. And I think that is a clear choice about what we have in front of us in November. And on that note, you have Senate Democrats, to your point, blocking the Laken Riley Act from becoming law. So it passed the House. I want to thank Congressman Mike Collins. He actually brought it forward. It's a very important piece of legislation. It requires ICE to actually detain and deport illegal aliens who commit theft or burglary. So if you are here illegally and you commit theft or burglary, then we're going to turn you over to ICE, and we are going to both detain and deport you. It also allows attorney generals to be able to sue the Secretary of Homeland Security for violations of parole, which I want to talk about in a minute. But importantly, that piece of legislation, the Laken Riley Act, passed the House in a bipartisan way. Honestly, every House Republican and 37 Democrats joined them.
That's pretty big.
Senator Ted Budd, it's just huge. I mean, Phil, you know that in this day and age, it's rare that that happens. And it's because they know that this is common sense, and we've got to start making sure that we are protecting American citizens. Well, so Senator Ted Budd, who is one of my freshman colleagues, he is from North Carolina, and I came together, and we actually introduced the companion bill of this in the Senate. Unfortunately, when we went to the floor and Ted tried to get it passed through unanimous consent, Senate Democrats stood up and blocked it. And it is mind-boggling in the face of what we are dealing with across this country that Senate Democrats and continue to refuse what's needed to secure our country and secure our homeland. And I think there is no greater abuse of this and what we're seeing from the Biden administration under his parole authority, which the man who Laken Riley's alleged murderer actually was paroled by choice by Joe Biden into this nation simply because of where he is from and without proper vetting. And we're seeing that, obviously, it's called the CHNV program. And we're seeing the destruction across the country, honestly, Phil, and it's got to stop.
And, Senator, I'll be honest with you. If I recall correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I recall correctly, Laken Riley's murderer was not only paroled in by the Biden administration, but then he was detained at least twice by soft-on-crime local officials who chose to just let him go. In other words, we had two or three bites at the apple to try and get this guy, and liberal policies ruined it every time, and a young lady's now dead.
Absolutely. You have a young woman, a 22-year-old beautiful nursing student who laced up her tennis shoes to go on a run one morning, who never had the opportunity to return home because of exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
Two times, one in New York and then the next month in Georgia. And they didn't, you got to follow through. And that's why this Laken Riley Act is so important. We're going to try to attach it to the bill that is coming forth, the appropriations bill, the FY24 appropriations that are left. So Senator Budd and I are going to try to attach it because we believe it is that important. And when you talk about the parole authority, I want to put this in perspective for your listeners, because this is something the liberal media is not telling you, and we have to make sure that we are raising our voice and telling this story, and that is of parole. So if you look back, so the president has, we heard a lot about asylum abuse, and that is absolutely happening.
Yep.
The drug cartels are abusing asylum. They tell these people what to say and how to say it to kind of circumvent the system. But then in many cases, then you look at the presidential parole authority. So if you look back under President Obama, and I didn't just say that, Obama and Trump, they use the presidential parole authority to the tune of, on average, about 5,600 people a year.
So
they use this authority, 5,600 a year. Now, you look at Biden, and he has averaged every fiscal year of paroling 1 million people into this country.
Yeah, that's
1 million people. A million people. Lindsey Graham has the facts. He went in, dug in, and got them. Obviously, his role on both appropriations and on judiciary. Look at that abuse. 5,600 under the previous two administrations, and on average, 1 million a year under this president.
Well,
and so you look at one of the ways he does this, that CHNV program. Not only was the man who murdered Laken Riley paroled under that program, so chose to be paroled, but also you've heard the story of the Haitian who was
to
New York. Yes. He's flown in through this parole authority. So load him up on a plane, fly him in on taxpayer dime, and then raped a disabled young woman there. It is absolutely mind-boggling. And when is the president going to understand enough is enough?
Well, listen, that I'm going to... I mean, we could talk an hour on that one topic, but I've got a limited amount of time with you, so I want to springboard from that to something else, because here we are looking at a Haitian who is paroled in with a flight, like he didn't just like sail a boat over here and then be given amnesty at the border. He was flown here by the Biden administration. In the meantime, Haiti is falling apart. I mean, it's the Somalia of the Caribbean right now, and we have 1,000 Americans who can't get out. So here we've been shipping Haitian criminals in, but we've got 1,000 Americans saying we can't get out, and the country's falling into anarchy. That makes no sense. I mean, there's nothing there that brings rhyme or reason to the decision making.
Again, it shows this administration's America last policies. It is just like when Americans were stuck in Israel after October 7th. So
yes.
First off, if anyone is having trouble, or you know someone that is having trouble that is there, I know that there are groups from across the country on mission trips and other things, please, our number is 202-224-5744. Our entire team stands ready to help do everything we can. coordinate with the State Department, amongst others, to get any Alabamian, any American out and safely home. And that needs to be our priority.
Go ahead and give us that number again, Senator.
It is 202-224-5744.
Okay.
And call our front desk. Let them know we stand ready to help. It is mind-boggling that here they are chartering planes for taxpayer dollars to bring Haitians to roll out the red carpet there at JFK, and then when we have Americans there, they're scrambling for what to do next. So we stand ready to help. And this also shows you, obviously, there are innocent Haitians that are there, but it's part of the CHNV program. These people, there could be violent criminals that are part of what we see going on there, that are literally paroled into this country, blanket paroled without proper vetting under the Biden policies. And he refuses, despite what is happening across our country to innocent Americans, he refuses to stop it. And that is completely and totally unacceptable.
Well, Senator, well said. So let me ask you this. With about 2 to 3 minutes left, I have to ask you something. It's on a different topic, but I have to go there. I cannot fathom where we are right now watching the Biden administration lecture Israel on how dare they go after the bad guys who committed the October 7th massacres. We're talking raping and pillaging and beheading of babies and all of it. And it's like the Biden administration has forgotten the atrocity that on a per capita level was greater for Israel than 9/11 was for us. And now we've got Schumer saying it's time for Netanyahu just to go. I've never seen this before. Your thoughts real quick.
I cannot believe it. We have a beacon of democracy in the Middle East here, one of our greatest allies. The only regime change that we, as Americans, should be demanding in the conflict is for Hamas to be removed from power and control of Gaza. Instead, you see both leader Schumer and this administration completely and totally undermining Israel, undermining their government, while they are trying to bring hostages home. And lest we not forget, there are still 5 American hostages. There are over 130 hostages that Israel is desperately trying to bring home. And this only gives Hamas more leverage, more power, more control in the situation. It is the exact opposite of what we should be doing as someone's ally, partner, and strategically, this is undermining them at every turn. It is absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, it is. And, you know, and history will show, too, that the first nation that recognized Israel as a nation was the U.S., and the first state within the U.S. that recognized Israel as a nation was Alabama.
That's right. Exactly right. We proudly stand with Israel, and I believe that as an American, I believe that as a Christian, and you see Biden and Schumer worrying more about how their policies are playing in states like Michigan and Minnesota, and instead of the values that this country was founded on and the promises that we have made. You know, we said never again after the Holocaust. We said never again. We have to mean never again. And when you think about what these people have been through, we must rid the Middle East of Hamas, period, the end. And anything less than that is not acceptable.
Well, last question. I know that you're a University of Alabama family. How do you feel about Auburn in the March Madness?
Hey, War Eagle, I'm excited for Bruce Pearl winning the SEC championship. Let me tell you something. Bruce Pearl is a man of integrity. Watching him fight for what he believes in, standing up for the people of Israel, being willing to call right, right, and wrong, wrong. And in this day, being able to call evil, evil. For whatever reason, some people are having trouble with that. What Hamas did to Israel on October 7th was absolute, pure evil. And I am proud to continue to see him speak out. And certainly am excited that all of the teams, Alabama, Auburn, UAB, Samford, pulling for everybody, and excited that Alabama is going to have such a strong showing as a state. And hopefully we can, one of these teams will take it all the way.
All right. Well, Senator, thanks for making time for us. We're out of time now, but you have a great day. We'll have you on again sometime soon. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much, Phil.
Thank you, Senator. All right, that was your U.S. Senator, the freshman senator from Alabama, Katie Britt. And just had an opportunity to get her on today. It didn't match my dippers, but it was every bit of it relevant. And so we're going to take a break right now. Last break of the day. We'll come right back. I'll get some text messages because, I'm behind. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.